Monster Man, episode 373, Chimera to Crab Man.
Hey everybody, James from the future here with a quick note. Today's episode includes a brief bleeped foul language gag at around like the 2 minute mark. I know that some of you listen with younger children, so, you know, even though it's bleeped, maybe you want to skip it. I just like the bit so much that I wanted to keep it in, but I thought I'd let you know. All right, on with the regularly scheduled episode. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the Monstrous Manual, the 1993 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 2nd Edition. And we're taking a look at some old familiar monsters and seeing how they have changed. And one may actually be new. I'm not sure that I recall having looked at it previously. But before we do that, it's time to thank a new Patreon supporter. Yes, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you will also get access to my other show, Patron Deities, which is all about the Deities and Demigods supplement and using religion and mythology in your fantasy RPGs. So thank you very much, David Buswell Weibel, or Wibbly. I apologize if I didn't get your name right, but either way, it means a lot to me that you're enjoying the show enough to want to support it. All right, let's take a look at some monsters. First up, we have the Chimera incorporating the Gorgomyra. Please drive safely. This is our old friend, the multi-headed monster from Greek mythology with the head of a lion, a dragon, and a goat, and also a tail for good measure, which is itself a snake. There are a couple of little details in this entry that I really like. For instance, it says the Chimeras speak, quote, the foul language of red dragons. Now, I know what they mean is like the awful or unholy language of red dragons, but I love the idea that what they mean is like foul language, like red dragons, and therefore Chimeras curse a lot. So you'll be passing by like on the road and the heads of the Chimera will come out of their lair and be like, hey, you, yeah, you, fucking adventurers, get the fuck away from my lair, you sons of bitch. I'm gonna come over there, I'm gonna up. There's also a description of the Chimera's horde as being kind of crappy, which I think is hilarious. Like, they have the red dragon head, and the red dragon head has the instinct that it wants to collect a treasure hoard, but Chimeras aren't as smart as red dragons, so it doesn't really quite know what it's supposed to be doing, so it just piles up all the shiny junk it can find, so their hordes are usually not that valuable. I think that's hilarious. It makes the Chimera feel, and this is going to sound like a weird way to put it, but it makes the Chimera feel kind of janky, which I think is exactly how it's supposed to feel. Like, you're supposed to look at the Chimera and go, all those parts do not fit together well. And I like the idea that the Chimera is just kind of awkward at putting together a horde. That's actually great. Next up, we have the Cloaker. You know, the Cloaker, they cling to things, they fall on things, they envelop things, they're deadly. The illustration here kind of does not do the Cloaker a lot of favors, and again, I don't know that it's the fault of the illustration so much as kind of a mismatch between the thing being illustrated and the style. In particular, the artist's choice to make the face more kind of humanoid really makes the Cloaker look kind of silly. I mean, and it looked silly before. The Cloaker illustration in Monster Manual 2 was never one of my favorite pieces of art by the other James Holloway. But Holloway's work sometimes has this slightly sketchy quality, which can be a little off-putting in things like Paranoia, where he's doing these kind of like clinical environments with lots of gleaming metal and precise angles, but then like the lines are kind of, they suggest like a softer, it doesn't quite work. Not that Holloway's work in Paranoia isn't brilliant, but like some of the later stuff's not as good in my view. But in the Cloaker entry, it kind of worked a little bit better because the sort of the mushiness of the monster. And here, I think by, you know, kind of under bright 360 light, that's not like the ideal situation to see the Cloaker. Next up, we have the Cockatrice. This also includes the Pyrolisk, which is a little version of the Cockatrice, but if it looks at you, you get lit on fire. This is a situation where if you fail your save, I believe you just burst into flames and die. And if you pass your save, you just get lit on fire. But I think that something that things catch fire if it looks at them is better. The idea of the Pyrolisk running around just looking at stuff, looking at adventures, and you have to like run around on fire and try to put themselves out, I think that's hilarious.
Also, the Pyrolisk's motivation is just that it loves mayhem. It just loves things being on fire. The Pyrolisk's archenemy is the Phoenix, presumably because, taps brow, can't get lit on fire if you're already on fire. So, the Pyrolisk is funny. Otherwise, the Cockatrice is just the Cockatrice. I don't feel like I really needed to know so much about their mating habits. It seems unlikely to come up. Maybe a Cockatrice egg could be valuable to a wizard or whatever. Maybe a Cockatrice egg could almost be like a sort of a bomb that you send to somebody, but, you know, if it's not incubated, I presume it's not going to hatch. I don't know. Maybe the Cockatrice egg could just be sat on by, like, an actual chicken, right? You know, because, like, incubating the wrong kind of egg is in the mythology of the basilisk and the cockatrice. So there's some humor in the idea of, like, slipping that egg into just some ordinary eggs that were on their way somewhere. You know, someone you don't like, and they get their breakfast eggs are getting carted up to the big house, and you slip that cockatrice egg in there, having kept it, you know, under a duck the entire way to the manor. And then, the like, when the baby cockatrice hatches, its stone faces all around. That could be kind of fun. A recent episode of Ken and Robin Talk About Stuff revealed that Robin D. Laws does not like cockatrices, and I keep trying to find ways to prove him wrong, but, you know, just sort of inferior basilisks, really, aren't they? Great illustration, though. Tony DeTurlis, he strikes again. Next, we have the Quattle. This is pretty much the same. I do like the idea that Quattles are kind of curious. It is hard to give this kind of powerful, good creature either something that it needs that adventurers can give it, or a flaw that can get it into trouble. Because, you know, it's basically like an angel. Like, it's supposed to be really good and kind of perfect. But here, they're curious. They want to hear your stories. Like, they're curious about where you've been. They always want to learn. They go on voyages of exploration, so they might get in trouble that way. It also says that when they learn a new fact, they immediately go and, like, find another Quattle brimming with excitement to tell them the trivia they've just learned, which makes them feel very relatable to me. I get a kind of sense of kinship there. Finally, we've got the Crabman. Now, the Crabman is unusual in that I have covered it not once, but twice, because the Crabman was one of the monsters featured on Mega Monster Dumb Man, the crossover miniseries that I did with Chris of Mega Dumbcast. If you like Monster Man, but you wish that it was more like me trapped by my own need to overanalyze, kind of like Joel Robinson-like suffering through gaming supplements, you should check out Mega Dumbcast. Although, unlike Monster Man, Mega Dumbcast is not a podcast for the whole family. I know some of my listeners listen with their kids, and I don't recommend it for Mega Dumbcast. Anyway, the point is that we did an episode on the Crabman, and, well, on a bunch of monsters from various classic AD&D supplements. And one of the things that really stood out for us about the Crabman was that their visual design, the illustration, I don't know if it's Alan Hunter's drawing was based on the miniatures, or whether the miniatures are based on the illustration, but either way, one of those two artists got stuck having to adapt into another art form something that looked just as dumb as a bag of hammers. The Crabman was not a menacing design. They looked somewhere between friendly and goofy, and it didn't land. So the visual redesign here makes them much more crab-like and much more monstrous. Right? They're not just silly-looking humanoids with big pincer hands. They're very crustacean. That's good. But a lot of the things that made them kind of unique and weird have been really toned down here. So, for example, their weird urge to steal silver has been replaced with just, like, a fondness for shiny things. Although I do think the new illustration is good, I think that they have moved sort of closer to the fight an aquatic humanoid space. And that's quite a crowded space. While I question whether D&D needed funny looking crab, turtle, claw, B-movie monsters who, like, stole silver and were delicious, I definitely know that it didn't need another big tough aquatic monster for you to, you know, hit with a longsword. Though, I mean, it can hurt, you know, just takes up a page. So, on the one hand, like, they're pretty inarguably better, but on the other hand, they're better by being more like things that already existed that were like them. Does that make sense? There are a lot of superheroes out there that you can try to give a new lease on life by essentially redesigning so that they are Spider-Man, but Spider-Man already exists. So, counting the Pyrolisk and the Gorgomira, which I
did not really say anything about, because what is there to say about it that we haven't already said? It's seven more monsters out of the way. We are coming up on some creatures that we haven't run into before, and I'm quite looking forward to that. However, our next episodes in this week are both going to be listener request special episodes. I'm going to be talking about creatures from science fiction, and adapting them into your fantasy games. And I'm going to be talking about the forgotten people in all of your pseudo-medieval societies, the peasants. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.